Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. Y'all, I mean, we are halfway to the weekend, and if we hear the camel play at the beginning of the show, that means that hour number three starts off with a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in conservative talk, and we sling questions at each other and just see where it stands. Now, we're having technical difficulties with Scotty Buttram getting connected with us. For whatever reason, it's just there's no audio on his side, but we'll work that out. In the meantime, though, down south by the Gulf of America, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief of 1819 News, and a whole lot of other cool stuff like that. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Well, I'm glad you are, because two out of three makes a quorum. So we'll call it. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! All right, man, as two of us, we'll banter back and forth and to see where it goes. But let's just hit questions, and you start. What do you got?
You buy into Paul Feinbaum discussion on the U.S. Senate there, Senator.
You stole my first question. I should have gone first. Feinbaum, you know, first of all, I will say I have a hard time taking it serious. I agree with Senator Tuberville. He would have name ID on day one, that's for sure. But I just don't know that there's any credibility to the idea that he's going to leave his multi-million dollar syndicated contract to go jump into, a U.S. Senate race where he may or may not prevail. Have you heard something different? You always have your ear to the ground, brother. What are you hearing?
I know he's been polling, or somebody's been polling on his behalf. So
really?
We know that. Yes.
You think they're polling on his behalf, or somebody's polling just to see what would happen if he jumped in?
Both.
Okay.
There's a lot of different polling going on, and he polls well, just like anybody there would. The other thing is, you got to think about this. Clay Travis, he went on Clay Travis's podcast.
He did.
That is the number one enemy of ESPN. That would be like someone from AL.com coming on the Grand Council and to criticize AL.com. Okay. And I think, like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to put yourself out there, if you're going to go on Clay Travis's podcast and talk about this stuff, and you know the corporate brass at ESPN and Disney is not thrilled by this at all, and this is because you're right. He makes a lot of money, but, man, he sure knows how to needle his bosses. For that reason, I take it serious. You just don't jump out of line like that and take a risky gamble and go on a Clay Travis's podcast if you're not somewhat serious about doing this.
Is it a contract negotiation piece for him?
He signed a new contract last August or August 2024. Huh. So I thought that too. And, we looked into it. So, there might be something there.
All right, so Right Side's got dibs on the afternoon slot for Feinbaum on your FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. Just saying.
I'll let you and Sean figure that one out.
All right, well, tell you what. Let me just let me ask you this. Do you think – I mean, he has a tendency to make a lot of people mad – and this state runs on NCAA football. I mean, that's in the blood, even more than the politics. Do you think he can get past the people who get mad at his predictions and his favoritism towards one particular team in general? What do you think?
Probably. I'm going to tell you what I think is going on here, and two things. Number one, I think he's being recruited. And so, Senator, somebody comes knocking at your door. Hey, you could be a United States Senator.
Spoiler.
You could be a United States Senator. And you think, no, not me. And then they come at you. Well, look, we polled it. So I think, number one, he's being recruited. But number two, and this is just a marketplace at work. Think about it like this. We have a pretty much Republican primary electorate that's set in stone. If it's 14 to 20% somewhere in that range turnout, the same people always vote.
Yeah.
And with that model, the same kind of people always win. And then if you're a consultant, you're looking at this, well, I can't win. You know, this guy is always, this type of candidate is always going to be the candidate that's going to win this kind of election. And then you start looking at it, and you're like, but what if I try to bring in a candidate who brought a new set of voters to the realm? And, we grew turnout. We changed the get out the vote models. We changed the definition of a likely voter. Does that make us have a winning shot? And I think that's certainly the case when you hear the talk about A.J. McCarron.
Yeah.
I think it might have been somewhat with Bruce Pearl. I think it's certainly what they're trying to do with Paul Feinbaum. But I think Tubby Tuberville was the one who kind of showed us there's a pathway here, because you'll bring a different voter to the polling precinct than you would otherwise, and this is the way you had to do to win.
So let me ask you this, though, because I look at it, too, from who's doing the recruiting. So are they recruiting him because they really want something he has, or are they recruiting him because they really don't want something that somebody else has who's in the lead of that race? Like now, right now, Steve Marshall's polling ahead of all the other candidates in the race, although it's not a runaway race, but it's still he's polling ahead. And so that being said, are the Porch Creeks, who hate Steve Marshall and they want gambling expanded to the state, are they looking at something like a Feinbaum because he'll bring something they want? And I don't know what he would bring federally, but nonetheless, what I'm saying is, do you think there's somebody out there recruiting him to prevent somebody else or to promote who he is?
Here's my theory, that there are people in Washington, D.C. who are not thrilled with the idea of Steve Marshall and Barry Moore being a United States Senator.
Hmm.
They're just looking for someone who they think can win. And they can find that right person who they think can just win. Then they get them to D.C. Then they'll worry about the details later. But then they could try to have maybe a puppet or someone who will kind of march the beat of their drum. And they'll have to deal with, this guy might go off the John Thune reservation or whatever it may be. And I think that's what was going on here. This phenomenon, it's not organic. Because Paul Feinbaum does not wake up on a Tuesday morning and say,
"Not at all.
I think I'm going to be a U.S. senator."
Yeah.
Somebody's talking to him. And this just gets back to the Clay Travis component of it. He doesn't go on Clay Travis's podcast just out of the blue. He's not promoting a book. He's not, there's no cross-promotion here. It's not like we're the Feinbaum affiliate and he's coming on one of our shows. He's going on Clay Travis's podcast out of nowhere. Like, where did this come from? I think there's something here, and I think someone else is pushing the buttons on this.
So national sports gambling and online gambling interests want him in. That's what I hear.
Maybe. I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's that or it's, like I said, it's an RSC or whatever. But I think you could really maybe look at it and make the case. I don't think this is organic at all.
Okay, so let me shift gears on you real quick, and we got about 2.5 minutes before we go to the break, just the two of us here on the quorum. Let's stick with unusual figures in state politics, because there's always still the question of what's going on with our basketball coach at Auburn. I mean, what are we seeing right now? Do you think that he is still waiting in the wings for an opportunity? I mean, you and I have talked about this before. But is Coach Pearl still waiting in the wings for an opportunity after the 6 years has passed that our state bylaws require for him to have been passed to supporting a Democrat, because he did give money to a Democrat? Or is this just his profile? He's going into retirement and he's playing the field to see what's out there.
No, I think he was serious about running for Senate. I think he really did look at it. We know, well, we've been told that he made multiple trips to Washington, D.C. He's a regular fixture up there anyway. He met with Tim Scott. They had serious discussions about it. And then this gets back to, like, why are these people so adverse to Barry Moore? I don't understand why Roy Moore, but Barry Moore and or Steve Marshall, there's something going on here. Why do we keep hearing names? They're just not happy with these two guys.
There's
Jared Hudson or Morgan Murphy or whoever else may get in this race. They're not thrilled with that field. So they're looking for other candidates. But I think Bruce Pearl was actually gotten talks with it, and they kind of looked at it. Then the GOP issue came up, and it wasn't clear they could get that waiver, they probably would have, but it would have been a big controversy, probably would have hurt his standing. Wait a couple of years. I still believe Mike Rogers is going to retire, yep. And I think he's a shoo-in for that House seat.
I agree with that. That's been my premise all along, is that he'll run for Congress when Mike Rogers retires. But something you just said, I think it's fair to point out that we are not looking at some special interests or establishment Republicans or whatever else trying to – I mean, what we're not looking at is – someone trying to clear the field to make it easier for a Democrat to get elected, because that won't happen. So what we're looking at is somebody who doesn't like the kind of Republicans that we currently have in the field.
And I don't get it. I mean, I really don't. You've had a lot of time. And we've, you know, granted, Tommy Tuberville kind of rope-a-doped us along there, and it took a while to figure out what he was going to do. But you've had ample amount of time to kind of look around and say, well, we need a candidate here. And you're looking at it right now. Here it is. I mean, it's October 1st before the election, qualifying in this next year, and you don't really have a name yet. But we're tinkering with other ideas, right?
Yeah. And when's qualifying? Do you recall when qualifying ends?
Is it January?
I think it's January. Yeah. Is there like January 10th or something like that? So qualifying, for those who don't know, is you have to actually qualify with the party you're going to run on by a certain date, or you're not allowed to be in the election. But that also gives time for the Secretary of State to build the ballots for the primaries. So, all right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. Good first round. That was some good speculations. Coming right back with me and Jeff Poore, and I don't know, maybe we'll get Scott Buttram. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going right back to the Grand Council, which is just two of us. We got a quorum, 2 out of 3. That's a quorum. It's me and Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. All right, Jeff Rowe, I'm going to hit you with the first question here. The whole thing about Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War Hegseth, having the meeting with all the generals. I've got thoughts and opinions on it, and I'm wondering, what do you think about it? How did you feel about the gathering of generals, the all-call, the all-hands meeting they had?
I think they had to do it that way. I think it had to be a public showing. I mean, they could have just sent an email or a memo or whatever, but I think to fulfill a campaign promise and reform military or whatever it may be, They wanted to show this to the American public, so that's why they made the speech televised and you had Donald Trump speaking and whatnot. But, you know, that was one of the campaign pledges, that we needed to turn our warfighters back into warfighters, and I think this was something that had to be done to show the public that, hey, this is what we're doing.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I loved it. I've played clips of it on the show today. I talked to an Army officer yesterday who loved it. And said that not only did he enjoy the speech and the things that were said, but he was chuckling through several things in it too. You know, the idea that even generals are going to be required to be held to height, weight standards, and, you know, and that personnel were going to be considered the top on the list of the priorities, and just set the task conditions and standards for the military again, and got rid of so much of the woke distractions to readiness. But I agree with you. I think it had to happen like this in person. And all the liberal left that are screaming about it, to me, totally miss the point. They do work for the President of the United States. They do work for the Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War. And the idea that they can't call them together for a meeting, that is just absolutely not accurate.
Well, I'll tell you something else, Senator. And it, to me, it's interesting. Like, at the very early part of Pete Hegseth's tenure, the leaks. Remember the leaks and the signal chats and all of that. And I think he's really cracked down on that. And I think about it like this, like doing it publicly the way that he did it, it prevents them from like leaking stuff out of context or trying to stir up a controversy, because that's what the Pentagon does. They play DC politics, and you do this publicly, well, it's not getting leaked to Punchbowl News or whatever. The whole world is there to see it. And that's number one. And number two, what kind of message does it send to our adversaries to do it this way too, you know?
Yeah.
So there's some of that. But I think the very public aspect of it was intentional.
I think it was intentional. I think it was necessary. I think it was good. I think it's also worth repeating. Good stuff. What do you got for me? Next question. What you have?
It's all shut down, and yeah. I the Schumer playbook here, and I think Hakeem Jeffries, I know it's a meme of him in the sombrero or whatever, but I mean, he's just the House isn't doing anything. The House is going to do what the House is going to do, and that depends on who's in control there with the gavel. But the Senate and Schumer, they're being dictated the terms of this discussion and the terms of this whole controversy by New York Democrat primary voters. Schumer's terrified of AOC challenging him. I think Jeffries is afraid of losing his post, but like I said, the House is not as important here. So they got a real problem here because the country, if you will, and for that matter, at least national Democrats, have been hijacked by Democratic primary voters of blue New York State. And I think that's where this all comes from. They think to be successful, to remain in power, they have to appeal to this segment, this base, and it's not going to work. It's going to hurt them nationally.
Yeah, I agree. And the idea that Schumer would be prone to a primary by AOC is also a clear indictment on the Democrat Party overall. But that being said, I mean, I look at it and think. You're gonna shut down the entire U.S. government because of your fear over your own localized politics is really it's more than a sad commentary on the Democrat Party. It's especially a sad commentary on the hubris of Chuck Schumer.
Well, this is what they did. This is what they did. They villainized, demonized. They threw everything they had at Donald Trump, and they made him out to be the at least in their supporters' eyes the worst person in the world. They painted themselves in this corner, Senator. Yep. They forced themselves.
They had to.
They forced this hand. This is where they are. They painted themselves in a corner, and now they can't go play nice with Donald Trump because of what they said. So, at some point, their rabid base is going to cost them, they've already lost one national election. It may cost them a midterm at this rate. And this tactic by not leaving a little out there, leaving a little in the tank, they're stuck here. And this is what they got to do. They got to play shutdown politics, and they're going to lose because of it.
And meanwhile, we all have to deal with it. Hey, brother, the music's playing. Preacher got to quit preaching, so we are done. Thank you, my friend, for being on. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and just little old me, two-man quorum, but nonetheless, Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.